Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Welcome to you, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Republican leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, State Rep. Patricia Morgan of West Warwick. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Let's start with the $9.2 billion legislative budget. The spending plan includes the first step toward phasing out the car tax. It avoids broad-based tax increases, wipes out a $134 million deficit, and includes a scaled-back version of Governor Gina Raimondo's free college tuition plan. Leader Morgan, how do you evaluate this budget?
I'm not real pleased with it, be honest with you. You mentioned that it's $9.2 billion, and for all of the conversation about the difficult cuts that have happened, it actually spends $300 million more than we spent last year. So it is a budget that grows and takes more money from hardworking Rhode Islanders. That alone should be kind of a red flag. I think the worst thing about it is our economy is clearly weak. The loss of revenue, the $134 million, points to the fact that our economy is not doing very well and that most of the things that we have tried so far are not delivering for the people of Rhode Island, not delivering the jobs, not delivering incomes for them.
Scott, how about Leader Morgan's point that there's been a lot of growth in the budget over the last decade? There's always a deficit. Is Rhode Island spending beyond its means? And what would it take to reverse that?
It would take a lot of political will on behalf of the lawmakers, frankly. That's one thing. The other thing is, I don't want to discredit what the Leader Morgan is saying, but our unemployment rate is the lowest since 2001. So the economy is picking up. One of the problems we're having, if you talk to people like John Simmons at the Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council, is while these jobs are out there and people are taking the jobs, they aren't at a higher wage job.
Okay,
so we're not seeing the 4.1% that's good unemployment rate reflected as much in the income tax receipts. That probably will take another year or so to catch up.
The unemployment rate is down, but the employment rate is not back to the same level that it was before the recession. And the really sad thing is that 45% of the new jobs we've created since the recession are paying less than $35,000. So the new jobs that we're getting are not replacing the good salaries we had before the recession. Families would have a hard time making ends meet at $35,000 a year. And clearly, they're not paying income tax, they're not paying sales tax, and that's one of the reasons that our revenue, our state revenue, is sagging.
Maureen, how would you respond to Leader Morgan's point on the nature of the jobs that are being created?
Well, we know that we have a skills gap and we know we have an education gap. And what I think that's good about this budget is that it hobbled together and I know moved money around, but we did balance it with a $134 million deficit. We did begin to cut the car tax, and I think that will improve the economy by putting money back into the economy. And the other thing is, we know we don't have trained workers for the jobs. And I do think, and I know you disagree with this, but the beginning of the college education, the free education for the community college, is definitely a step in the right direction because it has a real capacity to educate people and grow the economy.
Well, let's move on. The House Judiciary Committee this week approved a bill meant to keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers. The bill would prohibit people who are the subject of restraining orders from possessing guns. Leader Morgan, you voted against this legislation. Tell us why.
I don't think it does anything to prevent domestic violence, which is a horrendous crime, right? But it does, I think it's poorly drafted. I don't think it gets to where we want. We want to keep the guns out of the hands of violent people. And restraining orders are so easy to get. It includes a lot of times in divorce proceedings, all right? One side or another will use that as a weapon, a restraining order. And it's easily gotten from judges who don't want to err. So I think we're taking rights away from gun owners and not really attacking the problem of domestic violence.
How about that point, Maureen, that a restraining order is not based on a guilty finding, it's just an accusation? Does that violate the concept of due process?
I don't think so, because it's a temporary situation. And I am astounded, frankly astounded, at A, the power of the gun lobby, and B, the idea that we can be making an argument about potential domestic abusers and that kind of thing. I mean, we don't want too much regulation because we want business to come here. But I think the idea of accommodating these people in this way is stunning to me.
You know, Rhode Island has one of the lowest gun violence rates in the country. And one of the reasons for that is because we have strong anti-gun laws and because we have a very low gun ownership rate. I can't see why anyone who has been accused and been given a restraining order against that person needs to go out and quickly buy a gun. Can't you wait until this thing gets adjudicated? I mean, there's no reason you can't.
It's not about them buying a gun. It's about taking their guns away, right? And it's just an accusation. There's the due process problem of it. There is no due process in this. It does violate their rights. And it's on an accusation that not necessarily proved. Sometimes people go into court and they will plea nolo because they can't afford a lawyer, but they are not guilty of what they're being accused of. They just don't have the money to pay a lawyer. Should they be robbed of their rights?
Finally, let's talk about how we're coming up to a race for governor next year. Our guest, Patricia Morgan, is among the Republicans who are thinking about running. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung came close to beating Governor Gina Raimondo in 2014, lost by about 4 points. Former Warwick State Rep Joe Trillo and businessman Giovanni Feroce are also considering running as Republicans. Rep Morgan, why do you think you would be a potentially stronger gubernatorial candidate than someone like Alan Fung, who came within shouting distance of Gina Raimondo in 2014?
I think I have a really clear vision of what Rhode Island needs to get out of its own way. And I'm not afraid to take on the hard choices. I think Scott just said it takes political will to turn around what's broken in Rhode Island. I think I have that political will. And I honestly think that I have a different vision to bring Rhode Island into the future. I haven't made a choice yet. I really enjoy being minority leader, and I think I'm good there too. But I am going to look at it really seriously because I think the people of Rhode Island deserve better than they're getting.
What is your timeline for making a decision?
I'll make it in the fall.
My question is, with all these candidates running, my concern is, because I do support a two-party system, that we're going to see once again money and effort being put into primary gubernatorial races, statewide races, and we're going to neglect what should be done is seats, more seats for the Republicans in the House. And it would seem to me that's a burden on you. I mean, I think you really have to promote that as the minority leader.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that I'm hoping the people of Rhode Island will start responding to the policies and the issues that we raise, and they will bring more Republicans into the House of Representatives and into the Senate. We need all three of those bodies to be different at this point, because one party rule has hurt Rhode Island.
But the problem is the resources of the party typically go to the statewide races, and these races get neglected, and I hope that doesn't happen again.
Scott, we're real short on time here, but give us your elevator handicap of the GOP field for governor.
Well, it's really interesting we have this much interest in running for governor. It shows me one thing, that the Republican Party, people think that Gina Raimondo is vulnerable.
All right, we're out of time, so we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the Republican leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Patricia Morgan.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please follow our website at ripr.org.